Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 15, Parashuram, the Lord's Warrior Incarnation, text number 41. Ragyo Murda Bhik Shik Tasya Vado Brahma Vadad Guru Tirtha Sam Sevaya Chamho Ja Yang Gachuta Ketanaha Ragya of the King Murda Abhik Shiktasya, who is noted as the Emperor. Vadaha, the killing. Brahma Vadat, then killing a Brahmana. Guru, more severe. Tirtha Samsevaya, by worshipping the holy places. Cha, also. Angha, the sinful act. Jahi, washed out. Anga, my dear son. Chuta Chaitana, being fully Krishna conscious. My dear son, killing a king who is an emperor is more severely sinful than killing a brahmana. But now, if you become Krishna conscious and worship the holy places, you can atone for this great sin. Purport. One who fully surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is freed from all sins. Aham tvam sarva papebhya mokshi syami. From the very day or moment he fully surrenders to Sri Krishna, even the most sinful person is freed. Nonetheless, as an example, Janmadagni advised his son Parasaram to worship the holy places, because an ordinary person cannot immediately surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is advised to go from one holy place to another, to find saintly persons, and thus gradually be released from sinful reactions. As in the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 9th canto, 15th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Parashuram, the Lord's Warrior Incarnation. There are five powerful processes of devotional service, beginning with chanting the holy name. And hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, worshiping the deity, serving the devotees, and visiting holy places. Or making something, some place into a holy place by bringing Krishna there. Holy place is holy because in the holy place one has the opportunity to become Krishna conscious by associating with Krishna through either the other processes. Namely, chanting the holy name, especially in Kali Yuga, as well as worshipping the deities and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. Just like this building is considered to be a temple, before we came here, I don't know what it was, we see that man outside trying to get away from it. But whatever it was in a temple. So when we came here, just by our presence, it didn't become a temple. It became a temple because the deity was installed here. As well as the fact that we're worshiping the deity, we're engaging the process of devotional service here. So the process of devotional service, hearing, chanting, remembering, serving, worshiping, praying to, makes the place spiritual when Krishna comes. Or as Advaita Acharya told Lord Chaitanya, wherever you go, that is Vrindavan. So when Krishna is there, then it's Vrindavan. And if Krishna is not there, it's called material. So, Krishna says, Sarva Dharma Pratyaja, give up everything and surrender it unto me. So that will free one from sinful reactions if one surrenders to Krishna by the process of Sharanagati, accepting everything favorable, anukulyasya sankalpe. So we're trying to do that. Just like we come here, we're trying to come to class, so that's favorable. To hear about Krishna is favorable. We could go on the internet and hear about so many other things, but we decided to come here. So that's favorable. Anukulyasya sankalpe, pratikulyasya. And if we hear about Krishna consciousness and we decide that after hearing about Krishna consciousness, we're not going to go on the internet and look at something not very helpful for our advancement in Krishna consciousness, that's called pratikulyasya, giving up things that are unfavorable, especially things that lead to the sense gratification, unrestricted sense gratification. And rakshasya-titi vishvaso, that rakshasya-titi, we're trying to develop this attitude that Krishna is actually going to help us, take care of us, especially helping us become conscious of him. As far as the physical body, that's always changing. The material nature is always changing in the body that we're in. There's nothing we can do about that. It's beyond our control. But if we take shelter of Krishna, and we agree to surrender to him, then he can help us remain in Krishna consciousness under difficult circumstances, either materially comfortable or materially distressful. Those are difficult circumstances. And rakshasya titi vishvaso, that one will believe that Krishna will maintain us and that Krishna will protect us. So vishvaso, Krishna will maintain us, that we don't need to make so many arrangements for our protection, unlimited arrangements for our protection and for our maintenance. As it said, as I one time I was with Srila Prabhupada in the garden in Los Angeles, and he said that he pointed to a tree and he asked me if I saw the bird in the tree, which I didn't see. Anyhow, but I said yes anyhow. And Prabhupada said, see that bird? He said that Krishna has supplied everything that he needs. He has a nice house and a nice garden. He has his food. He doesn't look like he's starving. And he has a nice family. So Krishna has given him everything he needs. So if Krishna is going to give the bird everything he needs, why don't you think he's going to give you what you need? Why should you be in anxiety? We're in anxiety because we think that we're independent and that without our own endeavor, we cannot maintain. We don't see the Krishna factor, that Krishna can provide what we lack and preserve what we have if we become Krishna conscious, if we rely upon him. Just like Draupadi, there was an attempt to disrobe Draupadi by a very powerful kshatriya, Dushasan. So on one hand, she was holding her sari. On the other hand, she was holding up her hand, asking Krishna to help her. But Dushasan proceeded to tug on her sari, and obviously she was not as strong as a powerful kshatriya. So then she decided to put up both hands and ask for Krishna's help, depending upon him completely. And then Krishna came and became her sari. So if we have some faith in Krishna, but not enough faith to actually rely upon him, then Krishna will let us take shelter of so many other things and see if they work. And if they don't work, Krishna may be on our list. He may be on last on the list. We have no other choice. We may take shelter of him. So Krishna will let us see all the other shelters, if they work or if they don't work. And when they don't work, then maybe on the last, we'll finally get to the end of our list and put up our hands and say, Krishna, help. Sincerely, say, Krishna, help. In any case, at the time of death, if we're not practiced, to rely upon Krishna, we'll call out for mommy instead of for Krishna. Just like the airplane pilots, they have a box in the airplane which records their voice, whatever they're saying. So sometimes when airplanes crash, they record the voices, the pilot's voice and his last words, and often the pilot cries out when the plane's about to crash for mommy. Mommy, help! Unfortunately, mommy can't help at that time. Krishna could help, but they don't know that. Vatevidu Swartagatim Hi Vishnu. In any case, we're supposed to surrender, and to help us surrender, one of the powerful processes is to live in a holy place or to make the place holy by preaching, by participating in Krishna consciousness there, especially by in some place, a holy place, then we engage in devotional service. Otherwise, the holy place may be a holy place, but if we're not engaged in devotional service, then we'll be in Maya. Maya will accompany us even to a holy place. But a holy place is a place where Krishna has his pastimes. And therefore, when we go there, then we can remember, well, Krishna did this. This is where Krishna was tied up with a rope to a wooden grinding mortar. This is where Krishna killed the Bakasura demon. This is Keshi Ghat, where Krishna killed the Keshi demon. This is Akura Ghat, where Krishna, where Akura took Krishna across the Yamuna. So, there, every place. Here we walk down the street, there is some kind of ulitsa, but it's usually not in relation to Krishna. Here's a place where Slovenia got defeated in this war. Here's a place where they got stomped over by this country. Not exactly a place where we're going to think of Krishna's name, form, quality, and pastimes. It's not very prevalent. But if you go to Vrindavan, everywhere you go, Radha, they have Radhe everywhere. On the trees, on the buildings. And there's somebody, generally speaking, anyone who is a little familiar with Vrindavan will know this is a place where Krishna had his pastimes. And the residents are always, most of the residents are always saying Jai Radhe. So even if we don't want to remember Krishna there, it becomes difficult to forget him. So therefore it's considered a holy place. Other places, even when we're trying to remember Krishna, it's difficult to remember him. It's easy to forget him. So for one whose aim of life is to remember Krishna, holy places are holy. And for one whose aim of life is to forget Krishna, then a holy place can be made very unholy for that person. In any case, at least to set an example, Parashuram was advised to go to a holy place where he could participate in Krishna conscious activities. Just to go to a holy place may be good for your mileage credit. If you have mileage credit on an airline and you want to increase it, you may want to go to a holy place. Or it may be good if you like to walk around and do parikrama, if you want to do a little exercise. But without remembering Krishna, then it's just a waste of time. Without doing devotional service in a holy place, it's just like going it's a tourist place. It's not a holy place. Just like sometimes devotees set up communities somewhere, but they set them up in such a way as that it becomes more or less like a vacation place. They don't attend the Krishna conscious programs. They don't hear about Krishna. They don't do devotional service. They have the association of devotees, but the question is, who's the devotee if you don't engage in devotional service and don't become Krishna conscious? Then it's just some other designation we have. Therefore, Parashuram will find out. He goes away to the holy places temporarily, but there's more to the story than that. So let me just start reading some of the story. Any questions so far? Yes. First question is, where is the microphone? At least we'll get an answer for that.
Hare Krishna. You said that you should remember, when you go to holy places, you should remember the pastimes which happened there, or it should. What are the pastimes that are going on in that we should remember in this temple, which is
this temple? Gaur Nitaya being, Panchatattva is being worshipped. Devotees are chanting Hare Krishna. They're taking prasadam. They're dancing. They're hearing about Krishna. Those are the pastimes. The five powerful pastimes. Chanting the holy name, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping the deity, serving the devotees, and making the atmosphere spiritual. So these are powerful places. Pastimes. Anything else? Yeah, his.
I wonder, did he kill 21 times with the kshatriyas before or after this?
After.
And why then so much trouble?
Why so much money? I had nothing else to do.
I mean, about one king.
The point was that the society had become so contaminated that it wasn't that he killed one generation after another because they didn't learn. They were puffed up and arrogant. They didn't rule properly. So he killed one generation of kings, but the next ones were ill-trained also. So he had to kill them too, because there was no improvement. Because generally in the material world we're slow to learn. Imagine if he came back now, he'd spend the rest of Kali Yuga just killing people. Anything else? Yes.
One question from Bhakti Yoga Tilburg. Hare Krishna Maharaj, sometimes I hear about a person who says he follows God and wants to do his service, but he doesn't follow the regulative principles. Still God speaks to him to give him all he needs for the service and also other things he wants like money, opera tickets, etc. How to see this?
Well, you can see it. Krishna is not going to help him. They give him something, but as far as giving him everything, Krishna, if he's very merciful, if he's a little sincere, yasya anugrahami karishe taddana shanai, then Krishna will take away things that are causing him to deviate from religious life. I mean, the four regular principles are the beginning of religious life. They're not even spiritual. It's just becoming to the human form of life. So if one is not performing activities on the human form of life, there's no question of spiritual advancement or getting the full mercy of Krishna. Krishna's mercy will come when he takes away everything that's causing his deviation, not giving him more to deviate even more. Krishna says that if someone is acting wrongly, then Krishna doesn't necessarily give him tad-dinai-shanai. He doesn't give him more material causes for deviating. Instead, he takes away what he has. And when he's defenseless, or he's devoid of his material resources, then he may become a sincere devotee of Krishna. Otherwise, there's America, they go to church praying for bread, and Krishna gives them enough bread, but because they're sinful, he also gives them enough sinful reactions. Anything else? So we have around 5 minutes. So I'll read the introduction to the story tomorrow, chapter 16. This is a summary. When Jadmandagni was killed by the sons of Kartavir Arjuna, as described in this chapter, Parashuram rid the entire world of Kshatriyas 21 times. This chapter also describes the descendants of Vishvamrita. When Jadmandagni's wife, Renuka, went to bring water from the Ganges And so the king of the Gandharvas, enjoying the company of Apsaras, she was captivated, and she slightly desired to associate with him. Because of this sinful desire, she was punished by her husband. Parasaram killed his mother and brothers, but later, by dint of the austerities of Jagmadagni, they were revived. The sons of Kartavirya Arjuna, however, remembering the death of their father, wanted to take revenge against Lord Parasaram, and thereafter, when Parasaram was absent from the ashrama, they killed Jagmadagni, who was meditating on the Supreme Personality of God. When Parasaram returned to the ashram, saw his father killed, he was very sorry, and after asking his brothers to take care of the dead body, he went out with determination to kill all the Kshatriyas on the surface of the world. Taking up his axe, he went to Mahishmatipura, the capital of Kartavirya Arjuna, and killed all of Kartavirya Arjuna's sons, whose blood became a great river. Parasaram, however, was not satisfied with the killing only the sons of Kartavirya Arjuna. Later, when the Kshatriyas became disturbing, he killed them 21 times, so that there were no Kshatriyas on the surface of the earth. Thereafter, Parasaram joined the head of his father to the dead body and performed various sacrifices to please the Supreme Lord. Thus, Jagmadagni got his life again in his body. Later, he was promoted to the higher planetary system known as the Saptarishi Mandala. Well, why didn't he do that first before he killed everyone? I don't know. Such are the pastimes. Parasaram, the son of Jagmadagni, still lives in Mahendra Parvata. So if you want to visit him, you just have to go to Mahendra Parvata. Do you know where that is? It's a couple of blocks after Lohar Bazaar. But it's on a different platform of existence, so even if you go there, you may not find him. In the next Manvantara, he will become a preacher of Vedic knowledge. In the dynasty of Gandhi, the most powerful Vishwamrita took birth. By the dint of his austerity and penance, he became a Brahmana. He had 101 sons who were celebrated as Muthukandas. In the sacrificial arena of Harishchandra, the son of Ajigartha named Sunashepa was meant to be sacrificed. But by the mercy of the Prajapatis, he was released. Thereafter, he became Devarata in the dynasty of Gaudi. The 50 elder sons of Vishwamrita, however, did not accept Sunashepa as their elder brother, and therefore Vishwamrita cursed them to become Malechas, unfaithful to the Veda culture. Vishwamrita's 51 sons, along with his younger brothers, then accepted Sunashepa as their eldest brother, and their father, Vishwamrita, being satisfied, blessed them. Thus Devarata was accepted in the dynasty of Kaushika, and consequently there are different divisions of that dynasty. Exciting. So we'll read about that tomorrow. Gurudev Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.